right. So, I need some panelists up here. Do you guys want to come on up? While they're coming up, let's give them a big round of applause. It takes a huge amount of courage to come up on stage, and I know that some of us come from fun weeks, some of us come from challenging weeks, and I'm sure there's all manner of that in the panel tonight. So I'm going to kick off. I'll just quickly introduce the panel to you in case there's people who don't know anyone here. So starting, you've all met the amazing Mandy tonight already. Round of applause. Jess, Sharon, Julia, Josh, Ben, and Tim. Okay. All right, so tonight we're engaging with your questions, your ideas. Now, I have to confess, we had so many of them come in, we probably won't get to all of them tonight. But we're going to use some of those other ones to speak into and shape some of the topics that we come to in the teaching series down the track as well. But tonight, these are the ones that we have got on the agenda. We're going to start with this one. Came in last week, I think it was. Is my dad allowed to wear UGG boots to church? Over to you guys. What do you think? Are dads allowed to wear UGG boots to church?
Is this on? It is now. I wear thongs to church. That's the same thing. So, yes, from me.
Yeah, I reckon. Yep. Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, honestly, if my dad really wanted to wear UGG boots, he probably wouldn't care what I thought. So, yes.
Yep, it's a yes for me as well. Sure, I'll go with yes too. Freedom in Christ, we're a family. Yes. So I told Andy I had a very long thesis to this, but for me there's a sliding scale. So if it's UGG boots and nothing else that's particularly atrocious, it's okay. You might not want to sit next to him. But if it's like UGG boots and then like trackies and flannel at top and possibly a mullet, no. And I'm pretty sure the pastors would like to be involved in an intervention if that is the case. That's right. That's not just church. That's anywhere.
The panel has spoken. All right. We're going to jump straight into one now that is, a nice, easy one. Is there proof of God? Is it bad to desire proof? And if a friend falls away because he or she cannot hear the Lord nor prove that he exists, what do we say to them? So it's actually three questions, isn't it? Is there hard proof that God exists? Is it bad if you want to desire, like if you desire to see proof? And then what do we say to someone who's struggling with faith because they haven't seen proof?
So I put my name down for this one, and I thought on it a lot, and I don't think it's a bad thing to want to desire proof of God. He is a tangible thing, and it can be a struggle for some people because you can't see like him. I don't know, I've never seen a burning bush or anything like that, so it is hard, but I was thinking about it a lot, and the conclusion that I came to, I think everyone reaches this point where you take your faith in your own hands and you start to question things. And I think one of the big things is knowing if God exists and how do you know? And I think when I came to that point in my faith, I kind of reflected on my life. I took everything that I knew about God on paper or God from other people's stories and just who I knew of his character to be and looked at it in my own life. And I think one of the big things in my life was seeing lots of wrong things happen, but I learned after a while that God is good, and it took a long time for that to sink in. But when I took that and believed it wholeheartedly, and I looked at all the situations that hadn't been amazing, and I actually saw God in all of them or coming after those, and like you see a bad situation, but then something good is guaranteed to come out of it. And I can look at every situation in my life and see that he is good consistently. And I don't know, I just couldn't really question that, and I couldn't peg it all as coincidence. I don't know, it is a faith thing, and I guess it comes to you to make that decision, to believe that he is good, and then see that throughout your whole life. And yeah, sorry, that was a long answer, but that's what...
Anyone else?
Yep. Well, I was thinking that I think Gideon is a good example, because he asked God not just once but twice if it was really him, and nothing bad really ever happened to him. So I think we can use that as an example.
Cool. All right. Well... what is it for you guys? What is it about God that draws you in? What do you think that God has to offer our world that a non-Christian can't find alone?
Yeah, so I thought about this question for a little while, actually. And for me, it all came back down to unconditional love. It sounds really cheesy, but I mean, it's true. Like, I feel, for me personally, I think, you know, just that feeling that you know that there's someone out there, who loves me regardless of, you know, where I've come from, what I've done. That just makes me feel great. I've definitely had times in my life, maybe I've come home, I've had a rough day. Maybe there are things that are happening. There have been things that I haven't felt comfortable talking to people about. But I always know that, you know, I'm not comfortable talking to people about certain things, but I'm always comfortable talking to God about those things, and just that feeling that, yeah, there's someone there that loves me, who can listen, who I can talk to, who will listen to me. Yeah.
I think for me, it's about purpose. So many, many years ago, I was reading The Purpose-Driven Life, and I remember praying to God because I felt really empty, and saying, "There's got to be more. There has to be a reason." For me, it didn't seem to make sense that we're born and then we, you know, spend each day waking up, breathing, eating, going to sleep, and do that for 85 years, and that's life. I felt like there had to be more than that. And I'd spent a long time, because I wasn't a Christian until I got older, I spent a long time trying to fulfill that purpose for myself. So I did things like worked really hard to be really good at study that I was doing. I got a job where I was earning lots and lots of money. I did things where I was the party girl and tried to be popular and all those types of things. And none of it meant anything. It was all it actually made me feel more empty. And it was only in God that I had a purpose and I felt that fulfillment. And so for me, that's what God offers Christians that non-Christians won't know.
One thing that I think sums up my relationship with God pretty well, or something that I like about something about God that draws me in, is just the peace that I get from that. And I think John 14:27 sums it up pretty well when Jesus says that he gives us peace, not the way that the world does, but one that just comes from him. And I really like that. I really like that verse. I think another thing is intimacy. Like, God is close, and I like the thought that God always has his hand on my shoulder and that I'm never alone. He's relatable. He knows how we feel, and it says that in Hebrews 4, verse 5. And security as well. Like, God is always on our side. He's always for us, and he always wants the best for us, which I think is really cool.
So it's kind of the unconditional love part coming through there again.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How you guys going? Aren't these guys great? I just wanted to to just remind you guys, be listening throughout this whole time for the Holy Spirit as well. These guys are sharing their stories, but again, the idea isn't just that we give you answers. What is it in any of these conversations that the Holy Spirit is able to put something, put his finger on something in your heart or in your life that may actually spark the next part of the journey for you or the next question that you want to go to him with? Because we want to open this conversation up not just with each other but also with God, don't we? Amen. All right, we're going to keep going. One here, how does heartache help us to go deeper? How does heartache help us to go deeper?
I guess in my journey, particularly walking with depression and anxiety, probably the most common question I get asked by Christians is, do you know Jesus? Because there seems to be an idea, a theology out there that if we know Jesus, we aren't going to have pain. There's not going to be heartbreak. We aren't going to have depression. But I'm not sure of anyone who lives in this world without going through times of struggle. And for me, it's, I guess, constantly going back to Jesus and knowing that he is waiting with arms wide open for me, that he doesn't want me to pretend that I don't have pain, but actually he wants to embrace me and he wants to hold me in that place. And I guess it's in that place and in the place of pain that I'm desperate enough to allow God to work and to move in my life. I'm open to what he's wanting to do. And it's not an easy journey at all. It hasn't been an easy journey. And I guess what God is telling me in the midst of it at the moment is that in him I'm enough, that I'm already enough. He has paid the price for me and I am enough. And that there's nothing I could do that would make him love me more, and there's nothing I could do that would make him love me less, so that I can come to him in freedom and, yeah, know that he's 100% for me.
I know I didn't put my name down for this, but I just want to add something. Sorry, Andy. A few years ago when my dad died, he committed suicide. Someone really, a really lovely person at the church actually came to me and said, they were trying to be helpful. They said, we think this must have been God's will because this has happened. And I went away and processed through that a bit. And I was talking to Jesus, and one of the things I used to pray to him all the time was, I don't understand why you didn't make the rope break. Why didn't you make it go wrong? Why didn't you stop this from happening? And I remember I was hanging my washing on the line, and I really felt Jesus say to me, not in an audible voice, but it was just unequivocally him. He said, my heart is as equally broken in this as yours is. And I've never had a moment like that before where I have known that Jesus was there 100% where I was. I was heartbroken and he was there and it was okay, even though the situation was terrible.
Thank you. As I was reflecting on this question when it came in, and I actually read it slightly differently, and I don't know, the questions were all anonymous, but one of the things I remember saying in a service a couple of weeks ago is that I was praying that our hearts would burn, that we would actually hunger for God, and it would be painful. And for me, there's been times where I've actually asked God to make my heart ache for him, because I've known I'm in a place where, you know, my relationship with him wasn't close, where I wasn't listening, where I wasn't really even seeking him very much. And so I don't know if that question was in response to that potentially as well. But for me, there have been times where I've actually asked God for the gift of hunger. And there's been times where he has very quickly given it to me. And it's actually been overwhelming. So if that was why you were asking that question, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Next question for us, guys. Have you ever experienced tough times where you doubted the existence of God? And how did your faith return and how did you reconnect with God?
For me, probably last year was the most difficult year emotionally and spiritually. I did not cope with the changes in the church, and I felt abandoned by church, and I felt abandoned by God, and it got pretty bad and pretty dark for me, and I began to think, you know what, I hurt so much, how can there be a God? Maybe there is no God. And I went on to think too, and if there is a God, do I want to serve him? Do I want to serve a God that I guess sees me in so much pain and looks away because I couldn't hear God and I couldn't see God, I couldn't find God in the midst of that space. And so I did, I guess what I know what to do and what I've done in the past, which is to worship, to sing out and to remind my soul who I was, who owned me, who God was. And I also prayed for the church and I prayed for the pastors. So I prayed into the situation that scared me the most. But I have to say, along with getting professional help, because I was pretty unwell at that point, emotionally, it was through the support of a couple of people that I guess journey with me and have journeyed with me for the last couple of years. I found a place where I could sit with them. They sat with me in the pain. I could be open. I could be honest. I told them how I was feeling and what was going on for me. And they were able to love me and support me, pray for me, speak truth to me when I couldn't see it, and at times hold hope and faith for me. And I guess I'm just reminded of Ecclesiastes 4, that a cord of three cannot be broken. And I've realized I used to feel really guilty that I can't do this alone, that I can't walk this journey alone. But I'm understanding more and more that God doesn't expect that, that he has put us in community to support one another. So when we're down, we can be lifted up too by other people. And I have to say, a year on, I did not know actually if I'd be able to take another breath, but God has been really faithful and he has brought beauty out of the ashes for me.
I think I want to sort of second the notion that other people really help in those situations. I went through 8 years of depression, which was really hard within the church I was in when I first came back to Canberra, and found myself not getting much support and really not getting any better. I ended up leaving that church for various reasons and came here, and through some people here who encouraged me not only to get some professional help from a very good Christian counsellor who was fantastic, but also through other people in this congregation who were willing to spend time with me, put up with me when I was in a bad mood, which would have been quite painful, I'm sure, but also help build me up and help answer my questions. I can actually say that I beat depression, which is something that I never thought I would do, and that's due to other people as well as God working through them. What's something else I was going to say? I've forgotten. I think I've struggled with other things since then, and I've often been worried that I'd end up back in that era of depression. But as my faith has been rebuilt, as I've slowly started to rely on God more, I had an incident last year where I didn't get a new job I wanted to get. And I remember being on men's retreat last year, sitting there and praying to God, which to me normally looks like me basically yelling at God going, you know, where are you? Where's my answer? You know, answer me. I don't feel like you ever listened to me. And this guy who I barely knew came over to me and said something to me that he knew nothing about what was going on in my head. But God still showed faith in me, and he gave me my answer through somebody else. So I guess the point of what I'm trying to say is that, you know, if you're struggling, God, if you don't feel God's talking to you, he's using the people around you. The people around you are there. They're hearing things from God. They're not going to let you walk away.
I just wanted to jump in, Andy. And sometimes whenever I go through like a dry period, so to speak, where I just am not feeling disconnected with God, I like to think of the analogy of just even when, like, suppose like there's a storm, and even though we can't see the sky, that doesn't mean the sky isn't blue. And it doesn't mean just because I'm not feeling it, it doesn't mean that God doesn't, the God isn't there. But he's like, and he still loves me. And even though I don't feel connected, that doesn't mean that God is distant. either.
Yeah, fantastic. I don't know if I can invite you guys to be part of the panel as well, but who here thinks that we can actually do faith alone, that we don't need other people? Anyone? No. Oh, one person. We've got a taker. I'll chat after the service. I'm keen to hear. We, you know, I believe that God has given us the gift of the church, that we can actually step into the spaces and minister to each other. God actually wants to work through us. It's I think it's a key gift that He has given us in bringing us together into His body, into the church. All right. How do we engage with the Bible? How do we engage with the Bible? What value does it have for us today?
So I feel like with this, when I was thinking about it, I feel like as Christians, we tend to almost feel this obligation that we have to read the Bible. It's a, we're reading the Bible for no real reason other than we feel like we have to. Just reflecting on this question throughout the week, one thing that I guess stood out to me and has really helped me, I guess, with my reading of the Bible is actually finding a purpose for why you're actually reading it. So for me recently, I did the top to tail read the Bible. That was a long journey, but it was one that I got myself into, and just having that end goal, I think, really motivated me in my reading. I've also learned ways like even praying with praying through the scriptures. That's an interesting thing that I've learned recently. That doesn't require you to read the whole Bible, and it doesn't even need you to even read a whole chapter either. Even a few simple verses is something you can do over that. So yeah.
When I first started reading the Bible, it was just recently, because I just thought I'd better just start reading it, and there were just I've been enjoying it because there were things that I never really got out of just hearing verses or stories at church that I really like just when I'm reading it by myself. And I think it just adds so much to it. Like, there's so much context that you don't necessarily always get at church that I find when I'm reading it by myself. And it's just, because it's God's word, I find that it's always just chock-a-block full of, like, inspiration and peace and just answers to questions that I just, that, yeah, I'm looking for. And I really like just all that it does for me.
Cool. Another one. How do you know you are truly listening to God and following the path He has set for your life? How does God communicate?
So I put my name down for that one too. It's apparently won a challenge, but it's super challenging. I don't know if you truly know you're on the path set out for you. I'm kind of a person who feels like there are lots of paths. I think sometimes we choose the wrong ones, or sometimes we head in the directions that He didn't really set out for us, but we're not perfect, and sometimes that happens. But if we're talking, like, the right direction, I think a big thing is, practically, if you're faced with an opportunity or a situation or a decision that you're coming to make, just pray through it a lot. Sometimes you're not going to get it straight away, and it's really unclear sometimes. But personally, I think something that I feel, I kind of just get a gut feeling, in a sense, that something feels right, or sometimes it feels off. And I don't know, it's really different for everyone. Some people receive visions, some people are word people. I don't know, that's a really tricky one, actually. But sometimes if I get an idea and it just keeps popping up everywhere, That's kind of a bit of an indicator to go with that idea, even if it seems really crazy to me, but sometimes it's what he wants us to do. How do you know if you're truly listening to God? I think making time for him is really important, not just assuming that he's going to just pop up all the time. Sometimes it actually does take sitting down and meditating on things and just saying, here, I'm willing, I'm ready to listen. And I invite you into this, and choosing not to do it alone, but actually just inviting him into the process or the decision that you have to make. I think that would be showing that you're listening.
I think one of the things I say, and most people probably have heard me say this, is that my God's bigger than coincidences. There are so many times that I've felt God's leading, and, you know, when you look back in hindsight even, or at the time, you see things just lining up. So last year when I stepped down from Barnardo's, the day I sent the email to my boss saying, this is the day that I'm ending here, I got an email from Clayton actually saying, just so everyone knows, Jason, our music director person at that point in time, had resigned. And so I had given notice to my work, and it ended up that I was finishing on a Friday, about 2 months down the track, because it took that long to get out, maybe longer. And then I came in here for a meeting, and again with Clayton, and Clayton said, okay, Jace is finishing up on this Sunday. So it was like 2 days later. And so even though God hadn't said, Mandy, I want you to resign because there's going to be an opportunity for you to volunteer at church for a little while, what actually happened was he lined it up and said, I want you to resign. So I took that step, and then the next bit became available, and it just all lined up like magic. And it was clearly God just kind of lining things up in that way. And that's how he's worked in my life.
I just want to add on to that. I think when you're listening to God, I think it's just as important that we respond in the appropriate way as well. I think it's just as easy to listen to God, however that is, and then just ignore what he's saying. I guess, you know, we all have perhaps this fear that, you know, God's going to tell us to do something that we don't want to do. We got this fear that, like, for example, joining a question and Q&A panel. But yeah, I think it's important that we respond in the appropriate manner. Just simply listening to God and not getting a gut feeling or whatever that looks like, and then not doing anything about it, I think, is... There's a word in my head and I can't spit it out.
Pointless?
Yeah, let's go with that. Yes.
It's a bit trial and error too. Like, you practice a bit, you mess up, it's okay.
Yeah. Look... That's so good. One of the things that I wanted to add was I don't know that you always know in the moment either. You know, there's been some times where I've been praying for someone, and I've just gone, oh, I feel like maybe I should pray this. And I don't know for sure that actually God's been speaking to me, but it actually is after you've taken the step of faith and you test it out. I was just thinking, Ben mentioned Gideon earlier, and sometimes it's okay to go to God and go, I don't know if this is actually what you're saying, and you ask, and you ask him for confirmation. He's a God who is big enough to handle our you know, unknowingness in those spaces as well. And we've got time, I think, just for two more questions. Got one here. What if I don't want to go deeper?
Yes! This is my question. I love this one. I read it and I was like, that's my permanent state. I always don't want to go deeper with God. Hello, church. So I think the most important thing, if you're in that position, is to figure out why you don't want to go deeper with God. And there are like 100 reasons that could be. It could be that you don't trust God at the moment. You feel like you're letting down somewhere. Oh, he let you down somewhere. It could be that he asked you to do something that you don't want to do. It could be that you having trouble believing that he's actually there and he's actually real, that he actually loves you. So figuring that one out can be hard. You know, figure out how you figure that one out. For me, if you want a strategy, I like to throw a massive tantrum, get all my resistance to God together in one just giant, tantrum. I'm a child of God and I throw tantrums. I put on loud music or run away from home or throw old plates at a wall or scream at the ocean. And then usually after that, I'm ready to sit down and be like, oh, hey, God, I haven't wanted to talk to you because I haven't wanted to talk to my real father. And so, you know, I don't want to talk to my heavenly father either. The other side of this is that once you kind of, you know that you don't want to go deeper with God, you know that you're kind of resisting what he's calling you to, and you know why. If you don't go deeper with God, that's a very deliberate decision. So really think about that one and follow through the consequences of that and where you might end up.
Alrighty. Our final question. Now, there was one in there where someone was wanting the silver bullet. They were wanting the formula. And I said this isn't about a formula, but I'm going to throw it out to the crew to give us what might be your top tip for people who are wanting to go deeper with God. So the answers could look very different across the board. We're not looking for the answer. But, what do you guys want to say if there's someone here who's looking for an idea of, you know, what next? How can I go deeper?
Don't do it alone. I feel like for me personally, in my journey, I found it a lot easier going deeper in my faith when I've got someone alongside me, whether it's someone supporting me, praying for me, even going deeper with me. Maybe that's a journey we're doing together, or it could be a group of people. But doing it not by yourself makes it a lot easier.
What was I going to say? Oh, that's right. I was going to say, I think find out where God like speaks to you the best, because I think before I did start reading the Bible, I really did only connect with God through prayer when I was actually talking to him. But I've since realized that God talks back to us not just through an inner voice, but through various different ways. And reading the Bible was one of those ways that I connected with God. So I think finding, just looking for God in not just one specific way, but finding out, or at least recognizing that God works in many different ways.
One I would say is don't underestimate like your gifts and your passions. We're created uniquely for reasons. It's sometimes to bless others and sometimes it is to bless us in our relationship with God. If you have something that you love to do that gives you just so much life, it is probably really important. And I found that for me it is dance. And once I started just dancing around by myself, I actually got a lot out of that, and I heard him speak and like feelings would come up within me when I did it, and I'm like, oh, right. So that's how I feel, and that's how, you know. So I would say explore your talents and what you love to do, because they're really important, and yeah, they can be a really great thing for your relationship with God.
I think lived, loved. So live as though you are 100% loved.
I'd say write it down when you see God do something or hear him speak to you, because otherwise it's really easy to think like, oh, I haven't heard from God in weeks. But I think if you've written it down, you can look and say, oh, he said that and that and that, and it adds up to this, and that's kind of cool.
Start with something small, whatever it is, even if it's a minute, and do that, and do it often, and do it over and over and over and over again. The other thing I would say is if it's been a long while since you've been connected with God, return to the things that used to fill you up. So go back to the things that you used to connect with God doing, or however it all worked, and go back and try that again.
Probably the thing that helped me the most is just being honest with God. You know, I'd sit down and wouldn't really call it prayer, but it probably was. You know, you'd just sit there and basically throw a tantrum at God in prayer as opposed to physicality. But in the end, it's honesty. God knows where you're at, but it helps even more if you're willing to be honest with God. You know, it helps when one of your mates comes up to you and goes, "You're right," and you just be honest with them as well. In the end, it's admitting, this is where I'm at. I'm not happy. This is where I'm at. I want this to change. And that need and that want of wanting things to change and wanting to go deeper is the start.
How's that, guys? Really big, big thank you to you guys for, you know, coming and stepping up in a space that takes courage. I've been really blessed just listening. I haven't heard all these answers before tonight, so I've just been really enjoying hearing them from you directly tonight, and I'm sure you guys would agree. It's been great to listen to their stories, their experiences. Give them another round of applause, and we'll clear the stage. So we're going to enter into another space now, another opportunity where we can worship, where we can respond. I really love something that James shared in his message this morning about worship. We come together not just because we like music and because we like singing, but there's actually a real power in us coming together and reminding ourselves and singing out truths and praises to God. And I think that's a space where he can minister to our spirit, and we're going to go there tonight. But I want to encourage you as we do that to just take note, as someone in the panel mentioned, just notice the things that caught you tonight as people shared. I'm sure that this panel would be more than happy for you to come and ask them questions even beyond the stage, and you can ask each other questions and share stories. But notice the bits and pieces that challenged you. Maybe the bits that you go, "Oh, that's not my experience. That doesn't sit right for me." Or notice those things and keep that conversation going with God. Let me pray for us, and the worship team are going to come and lead us. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you so much that you are a God who does throw your arms open wide to us, that you are not a God who turns his back on us in the mess and in the struggles of life that we face, but you're a God who actually spread your arms wide on a cross and said, "I love you that much." And I want to pray over us as a community, as a congregation, that you would help us to know that love more and more, that you would help us to join together and be inspired by each other's journeys and step into each other's struggles. Lord God, that you would use us in this place and over cups of tea and coffee, over meals, over rounds of golf, whatever it may be, that we might continue to speak life and hope into each other and take part in each other's journeys. Holy Spirit, come and take us deeper into you as we worship. Come and lead us now in this space that we have together. Come and raise up those thoughts, ideas, visions, questions, and help us to be honest with you as they come up, that we will go deeper into seeking you.